Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a prolific episode of wrestling and whatever. Can I get one more? One more. I'm going to chop you while we're doing this. Ready?
Woo! Woo? What was that?
What's that? I'm guessing it's get a little interference with these chops.
You went through the interwebs to chop me.
But yeah, guys, this is Jay Glow and Mikey Dangerously here. I'm coming to you sort of live. Man, I'll tell you what, it's a lot of crazy stuff's happening in wrestling right now, and I'm telling you, I'm all for it.
Oh yeah, me too.
We're gonna talk tonight. This might not be a super super long episode. I know we've been getting a lot of good feedback on the episodes being not 2 hours like they normally are, but because we could talk wrestling for hours.
So what happens usually in our little thing is we start talking and then we go off onto another thing and then we go off. So it's like all our memories kind of just like commingle. We don't have things written down. We like to freeball it here.
Wrestling and whatever, tangent edition.
Exactly. But you know, it's great because the last episode was really positive with the good vibes and everything. I feel like, again, this episode, we're going to talk about a little bit why, you know, the business is getting better and why we love it, you know?
Right.
It's one of those things, not to step on your introduction, you're doing such a fabulous job, by the way.
Oh, thank you, honey.
But no problem, babe. But it's just one of those things where, like, you have, like, the best – how long was it? Let's go right into this one. It's Ric Flair. He came back to NWA.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Like, how many years has it since he'd stepped foot in the NWA ring?
89.
Okay, so that is, like, doing the math here off the top of my head, like almost 30 years
going on there.
Yeah, since he's been in an NWA ring. Oh, and wait. It's so cool.
That's quick. 32 years.
Oh my God, is that Four Horsemen?
That's Four Horsemen.
but it's one of those things where it's like, what parallel universe are we living in now where it's like, wrestling is interesting now. It's like getting like, oh, they know how to like get you like going, oh, wow. Okay, I don't normally stay up on this brand, but I'm going to check it out. Even if it's just clips, just to see this return, this, you know, this promo, you know, what the hell are they going to do next? You would say it as Eric Bischoff would say it. But, you know, it's just nuts. You know, it's really nuts. Did you catch any of that Ric Flair coming
back? I did.
Back?
I did catch the interview where he was like really getting into it.
Yeah.
And the funny thing that we start off with this topic though, because it makes me feel like wrestling right now, it's tending to our evolution in itself. So what I mean by that is how wrestling was when we were kids. And if we're going to peel back the curtain here and say our ages, you know, we're as about as old as the last time Ric Flair was on the NWA.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because I feel like every year it's changing, or I'm sorry, like every decade it's just changing to our needs. So when we were kids watching WWF and WCW, sort of more so WWF because it was more childish back in the early 90s, where – it was really, we were getting, you know, really hooked on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of evolved and matured with us as we were getting older, maybe hitting our teens when the Attitude Era came out and really branded us to see what type of personalities we were, where we were going to be heading in our lives with how we viewed everything. And I'm not sure if this sounds weird at all, but and then now it's like wrestling. We've become connoisseurs of it.
Mm-hmm.
We've become the people that like we love it so much. So now we're trying to critique it to see how we would like it to our needs.
Yeah, and we're sitting there with a nice glass of Pinot Noir, and we're kind of like, you know, sipping it, going, yes,
yes, exactly. As we're swishing the wine around, and that's really the way I feel like that wrestling's going nowadays. And you know, I'm okay with it. And it's the thing though too with the guys in, you know, you got Ric Flair back in NWA, CM Punk come making his return back from 7 years from being in the ring to AEW and WWE, with which something we're going to talk about, which I believe me and you discussed the behind the curtain here, that we were going to talk about the shoot that had happened, which I'm pretty sure every wrestling podcast, every wrestling Twitter is talking about, but it's Nia Jax and Charlotte really just beating the fuck out of each other. And but it didn't get to the point where they still kept their cool and their composure. But it's something like that where it's like, okay, realistic, this is what we want to see. We want to see the realism. We don't want to see, you know, as much as I love Nikki Cross, we don't want to see Nikki ASH, where it's literally her new t-shirt that she had. I saw, I almost threw up my mouth. But it looks like something you'd get at a fucking boardwalk that has like Aiden's first birthday or something. Like,
that's thing what it one, like. Thing two.
Thing one, thing two. But it was like in childish font, where like, are you guys now, is this what you're going to be using her for, to like get the kids going, like to get them more interested in it? And we're going to let Nia Jax and Charlotte just fucking smack and punch each other in the face for real? Like, that's what I feel like wrestling is. It's tending to our, like you said, it's like our Pierre Noir, and we're just sitting there just swirling like, yes, this is all very good right now.
Well, here's the thing too. We discussed how old we are now, you know, and, you know, I've always said in countless other, and if I haven't said it, you've said it, like they kind of would know based off of all the podcasts that we are a demographic that a lot of television formatted shows try to shoot for. So we're between the ages, I think it's like 25 and 49 maybe. That's like the biggest demographic that any show, you know, take wrestling out of the element. If you're on broadcast to syndicated television and you're going to produce a show, you're trying to get this. And the key market is males, unfortunately, not to get anybody pissed. And it's that age, you know. And then usually they could put a race in there. They could say white. They don't. They usually just say it's, you know, demographic is the age and the race, pretty much. So we fall into that. So they're trying to gear towards us, but I could understand now if we were kids.
Do you mean
now,
the like, age and the sex?
Yeah. So not so much, not even so much race, I wouldn't say, but
right.
But you know, say you were like, God, how old were we when we were? So say we were like, I'm trying to think. The Attitude Era, right? We were like getting there. We weren't like old.
10.
Right.
11, 12.
So those are 10-year-olds now that, you know what I mean? Like, you have to hit those 10-year-olds. You're trying to get that market. And what are those 10-year-olds into now? You know, it's hard. And if it's that type of a character that they want for wrestling, maybe they shouldn't watch it because you're going from Nikki ASH, which, okay, geared towards kids, you know, Matt Riddle to an extent, geared towards kids. You know what I mean? If you're
kids that like smoking weed.
Yeah, that's the only thing I don't understand. Like, but he's coming out on a fucking scooter. You know what I mean?
I think he ditched that, didn't he?
Well, he did give it to Randy Orton as a gift. I think it was last Monday. Last week he gave him one. That team, I was laughing. I, you know what I mean? So like either I'm a stoner or I'm a 10-year-old. I don't know exactly where I'm at.
I think you're a 10-year-old stoner.
Well, there you go. So there's like certain shit that they did that I was like, all right, that's funny. Like if I totally like blanked my mind out, if you can get a smirk out of me, like laughing and nobody else is in the vicinity, then like, okay, you got me. Like, not to go off on a tangent, but on Instagram, I follow Chevy Chase, and his daughters, or his one daughter, records him watching The Bachelor. And I don't watch The Bachelor, but I would watch Chevy Chase watch The Bachelor because he's fucking funny.
Right.
Because he's just saying stupid shit, and his daughter thinks it's cute, and it is. But it's also like, you know, he's just getting there. Like he reminds me of like my grandfather. And I'm just like, Jesus, that's so funny. So like, you know what I mean? Like, so if that's what, you know, they want to do, then, you know, and when I say they, I mean, now going back to the WWE or any wrestling promo, if that's what they want to do, then, you know, I guess, but it's just so hard when you go from something as stupid as Nikki Cross to something as like real, and again, quotation marks, real as a Charlotte. And so what do you do as a parent? What do you say to your 9-year-old kid or your 8-year-old kid when those, you know, those chicks are beating the shit out of each other? See, I was smart, and I think you were smart growing up. I think your parents were like my parents in the sense where like everything you do on that box, whether it is you're playing games or you're watching the television, that shit ain't real.
Yeah.
I understand wrestling can play that fine line because, you know, you have, you know, wrestlers who will die. Very few have died in front of the camera. But, like, you know what I mean? Again, you get someone that actually passed away and they do that 10-ring bell salute to them. Well, then that's when you could have the talk, you know, to your kid about, like, listen, people die, you know.
This was an accident.
Exactly. This wasn't supposed to happen and da-da-da-da. But, like, on that other stuff, like, it's just wrestling is such a fickle mistress because it's, like, you want kids to get involved and enjoy it and love the business. But then, like, you get into those other things. If you're a parent, and we're not parents. But then if you get into that thing and you show, do you want to show your kids this? Like, you know, like,
right.
I don't know. You know, that's just the way I think sometimes.
Right. And that's another thing too. It's everything has, I want to say, devolved since we've been kids when it comes to stuff on TV or stuff that's happening in the world. Like we've really devolved since the late 90s, early 2000s when it comes to just, you know, morale and anything with the quality of people.
Yeah, you're right. Oh yeah, you're absolutely right.
So like, that's why wrestling, you can't have hoes come out anymore. You can't have a porn star guy. You can't have, you know, enter anything from the Attitude Era, and you can't do it. And it's funny because every Broken Skull session you see with the Godfather or any type of, you know, Dark Side of the Ring episode where they're talking about this and that happening, you can't do it anymore.
No,
it's he's like, oh, we couldn't do that nowadays. But like, it's crazy. I mean, because you can't do that nowadays because A, you're going to either offend somebody, or B, kids are going to take that and say, I could do that
too far.
Go ahead and do it and then sue. And that's what it comes down to. I mean, maybe we should have saw this coming before. Like, hey, you keep doing this, somebody's going to get away with something. And once one person gets away with it and it's all over the media, that's generally how everything changes. I mean, that's really with anything now, too.
Yeah.
The media mixes up and, like, times 100 anything that happens, and everyone is still watching it. They're still watching what the news is going to say, like your CNNs, your Fox News, as hell, even your NBC's, ABC News and all this stuff. It's all there. So it's like people feed into that and they keep taking it in. So it's everything, the quality of everything is going to go down. And the one thing that wrestling has to do, which I think they're getting around to it, is finding that niche where they could say, okay, we got to make this work somehow with this and make it still entertaining. But man, that's really fucking dumb. But we're going to do it anyway because, you know, the writers say it's okay. I'm just using WWE, for example, because they've been in the game for so long. And it's like really hard for them to continuously try to make something new or something funny again. And you
see it, you saw it at least right now with that one example that had happened with AEW where Domino's was like, ooh, it was Pizza Cutter. I don't think it was Domino's. It was Domino's. It was the Domino's or like Little Caesars or something.
It was Domino's.
And it's like, yeah, you know, your pizza's trash. But at the same time, as a promoter, promotion, as a network, and you're trying to keep ads, you don't want to offend those people. You know what I mean? You're going to do that whole Pizza Cutter gimmick, and then, you know, you got it. That's where that comes down to. And then you have to think like that. You have to think like, well, we don't want to offend this side, and we're not going to not lose all this money because, you know, our advertisers want to pull because we did something stupid that we didn't think was going to affect anything. But turns out people like didn't like it, you know?
Right. Well, to get off of this tangent here, we'll transition over to talking about the Nature Boy back in NWA, and then we'll talk about the upcoming pay-per-view with AEW All Out, and then following that, we'll finish it up with talking about the Brawl for All between Nia Jax and Charlotte Flair. But first, let's hear a word from our sponsors. Do you hear that? That's the sound of an ice-cold Loco coffee. I always have one before I record wrestling or whatever because it's that damn good.
Start feeling good about your daily coffee consumption. Loco Coffee delivers benefits that go above and beyond the average cold brew coffee and is geared towards fueling your active lifestyle with all natural, no BS ingredients, and zero added sugar. The added coconut water and maple water provides electrolytes and antioxidants for an enhanced, clean coffee experience. This is the perfect pre- and post-workout drink. Don't forget to use our promo code WRESTLINGWE for 10% off of your next order off of any Loco coffee you purchase on lococoffee.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back, and that was a word from our beautiful sponsors. Now remember, you can get 15% off using the promo code WRESTLINGWE at checkout for your one, your only, Mr. Say it with me, Glow.
Boosted.
Exactly. And then you could get 10% off your next purchase with using the wrestling and whatever wrestling WE promo code for our lovely sponsors, Mr. Loco Coffee. Both delicious and fine products. I wouldn't recommend eating the sunglasses, but if you want,
hey, they're tasty.
They're pretty good. They're tasty. They leave pretty good economical footprints from what I hear. So
yes.
Good for the environment.
Actually, just got another couple cases of Loco in. I'm almost done with them already because I drink them like water, like maple water.
Ooh.
But it's funny because the boys at Loco Coffee, I reached out to them, telling them continuously, thank you for your product. It's amazing. And please don't ever get rid of the original recipe because I do like the new recipe, but the old one is what got me hooked, and I love it.
Yeah.
But they gave me some unfortunate news that that the original old school formula is completely gone after the new year, and I'm sad because it's my favorite. It's got everyone that I talk to loves the new enhanced formula.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the old school. I like the taste that it has with it. And it's
you're the original NWO,
dude. That's how I am with anything. I like the original part of it, but. They had said that, you know, it'll be there if I want it. So it's great. And I imagine anyone else that wants it as well will be able to order and pick it up. If you like the old original formula, it ends January 2022.
Get while you can, I guess.
Get while you can.
Yeah, that's some sad news. But we could transition into some good news, some happy news. And that was we had Ric Flair coming, quote unquote, out of retirement, if you will.
Again.
It's like his 80th time. However old he is, that's how many times it's been. Come back to AWA. And I mean, like, you know, he basically said it. This was my home. I lived and I died to be in St. Louis. You know, that was Ric Flair firing up the crowd at NWA event. So, like, it's just, it's got to be nuts, man. I mean, if you're an original diehard NWA fan, you got to be happy. You got to probably be in your 60s, right? I don't know, maybe 50s.
50s, 60s, yeah.
But, like, you know what I mean? Like, they came back, and it's been online, but the shows have been phenomenal. You know what I mean? Like, they have really no – like, they're doing everything they can online, right? It's all through Twitch.
Believe so, yes.
And they could get away with a little bit, but I mean, the programming too, when I catch it, like YouTube, they use their YouTube channel heavily too, because they'll get videos and they were doing one show, I think it's like for YouTube, but then they do, like, it's kind of like almost a recap but then a couple matches type thing, like their version of a Sunday Night Heat, if you would. Which would be their YouTube channel, and then they get onto it on Twitch, and you know, you could catch the broadcastings over there on Twitch, and recaps, like I said, on YouTube and shit like that. And it's been pretty good. I mean, that's been wrestling to watch as well,
right?
So they said that just trying to get a little bit more information out of it, so if people who weren't, you know, too familiar with what we're talking about, Ric Flair did make his return to NWA, and it's just interesting. You know, it really, really is. Like, what was your takeaway from him coming back, you know, and that whole promo?
Well, it's, I remember him thanking Vince McMahon in his promo, saying, you know, thank you for everything you've done for me. I mean, I don't know why he's bringing him up on NWA, but that was his little thing there to do. But he had brought that up, and
people couldn't be pissed about that, right?
No.
They shouldn't. Why should they be angry with Ric Flair just acknowledging that there's other wrestling?
Yeah, I mean, we all know.
He said something about AEW too, right? Because he said without WWE, NWA wouldn't be there, or AWA wouldn't be there, or did he change it around? Was it the other way around?
I think it was the other way around. Yeah. But he had also mentioned that he's talking with Tony Khan or something like that. He mentioned, I best believe you'll see Ric Flair in AEW at some point too.
Yeah, I think so. As long as he's still breathing, I honestly think he could still go out there and even at the very least, he can do, you know, just be a manager or something, be treated a little bit better than he was on his way out with WWE. That was the only other thing, you know. They do that with all their legends, you know, like they bring them back, and it's either like that old retirement like tour, or, but man, the last time that WWE had like a slew of legends, you know, it was like WWE's thing of just tearing them down and saying they're not worth anything, you know, go on, get out of here.
Yeah, don't come back now.
Yeah, you hear? And it's like, why would you do that? Like, they're your legends, first of all. And second of all, they're only going to make the quality of wrestling better anywhere else so that, you know, WWE could have talent to pull from when they need to, you know? Maybe they think they don't need to anymore. I guess they don't, really. Technically, WWE doesn't, but... So basically, he did come out, Ric Flair, and he did say his spiel. And I mean, it was him just being in front of a crowd, and to be in a ring, an NWA ring, it's just like it's again Twilight Zone if you think about it.
Yeah, do you ever think like that would come?
Exactly. Yeah, or Time Machine more so than Twilight Zone. Do you ever think you'd see that?
Anything's possible in wrestling nowadays, but because considering how NWA has been evolving since they've come back and they've been specifically online. Mm-hmm. I'm not shocked really anymore with anything that happens. The last time I was shocked was CM Punk coming back 2 weeks ago, because I never thought it was going to ever happen again.
Yeah, and I think people were clamoring for CM Punk to come back. They're just happy to see Ric Flair, but I think when, you know, CM Punk returned, I honestly think, boy, that was something I didn't think ever was going to happen.
It's the old saying of the absent heart makes the absence makes the heart grow fonder,
and I absent that's heart why, makes you die.
An absent heart makes you die. But no, it was just the thing we've seen Ric Flair. His face has been around, and we haven't really seen much of Punk. So that's why I think he got the one of the loudest pops of all time. But yeah, Ric Flair coming back to NWA, I don't see him doing much of really anything there besides maybe talking here and there. He's going to be that free agent now where he's going around. He's going here. He's going there. He'll be doing these different types of signings and whatnot. Basically what he's been doing. But I could see him in AEW at some point. I could see him managing somebody like Arn's was managing Cody. Mm-hmm. I could see something like that happening. I could see maybe a Ric Flair coming back and maybe even work with an MJF. I'm not sure how that would work out, but he's got to go with somebody who's one of the better heels. And that's the only guy I could really think of right now.
Are we going to say that like Billy Corgan and Tony Khan and who's over in TNA? Is it, cause it's not,
I don't even know.
But do you think those guys are just kind of like their kind of work? It's like the National Wrestling Alliance of the old, you know, kind of. But these three promotions are just getting together to just try to topple the
juggernaut. Absolutely. That's what I say. History repeats itself, and mm-hmm. It's like they're all going to be getting – WWE is going to get what's coming to them. After Vince took down everybody and became the monopoly that he is, I feel like they're all saying, hey, guys, let's team up and have some of the best content out there, because WWE is too mainstream right now. They're too AEW is kind of mainstream, but WWE is like the Pepsi and Coca-Cola of wrestling, when you have the Dr. Peppers, the Cherokee Reds, if you will, for anyone who knows in Northeastern PA, and the RC Colas.
Yeah, yeah.
That, like, these are the guys that, okay, WWE is doing their own thing, and they're going to continuously be what they're at, but we're going to steal a lot of these fans, and they're going to love what we're doing.
Not even steal. I think, like, they're saying, like you said, I think you're absolutely right to a point. I think they're thinking, okay, WWE is too mainstream. Mm-hmm. They're doing all this pop culture, all the, you know, you have fucking, what's his name? Jake Paul, Logan Paul, whoever. So there's that shit. They could get that mainstream. Hey, like, you know, here's an influencer. Let's throw him on there. I don't think AEW is shooting for that same audience. You know what I mean?
No.
They want good wrestling. They want like talent that you're, you know, wow, watch that match. Look at that in the ring. Like, I can't believe that happened. That type of shit. What the hell is going to happen next? That's the same thing TNA's tried to do.
TNA. They have been able to, like, capitalize
they can't,
on
they're
it.
Like the, they're like the curtain boy, like, trying to jerk the curtain back, and they're still just jerking that curtain. They can't get it open, but they're getting there. I mean, they've had – you have to think about it. TNA back then had people we would have wanted to watch on wrestling. They had, like, Ric Flair. They had, like – Eric Bischoff, they had Hulk Hogan, but, like, nobody was watching it.
They weren't doing anything right. It was just all the same old bullshit. And that's what AEW's doing right now, and I hope they don't follow in the footsteps like these other previous companies have. So
I don't think so. I think when you steal someone, like, and not even steal, but when you get a grab like CM Punk, that's just kind of eye-opening. That's kind of like a revolution in a way. Like, yeah, I get it. They were doing that a little bit. Well, you got Mark Henry, Big Show, Christian. These are people that are like, eh. And they got CM Punk, who said he was never coming back to wrestling, and they made him, like, they didn't make him come back, but, like, he came back at the right time.
They got him.
It's different. WWE can't do that. You know what I mean? You know, they'll shock you with your Brock Lesnar and your Becky Lynch, but it's like,
which right now is a good transition to go back to go into our next topic, which is CM Punk coming back, having his first match against Darby Allin. I know last episode we kind of talked about it a little bit, but we could really use this part of the episode here and really give our thoughts. What do you think the match is going to be like?
You know, I really don't know. I caught the interview that he had with Tony Schiavone this past Monday. No, when are they on? Are they on Wednesdays or Wednesday?
Wednesdays and Fridays.
So not this. Yeah, this past Wednesday. You know, it was great. It was cool. It was nice. They had a, you know, he had a lot to say. He knew where he was going with it. You know, he knew what he was saying. He called out Darby, and he just, it's just, I don't think it's a statement match. I think it's a, like, this is what you're going to expect out of me. I mean, eventually there's going to be a CM Punk heel challenge. It has to be, but I feel like the crowd is right now too much in love with CM Punk that they're not going to let him do that yet.
Not yet. Yeah.
So he's going to be smart, and he's going to just have these matches, these people he wants to face. I think it's going to be what AEW, unfortunately, quote unquote, does best. I think it's going to be one of them knock around slobber knocker type matches. There's going to be no, you know, with Darby Allin too, there's going to be no real rules to it in a sense. But I mean, you know, we said this on last week's show, it would behoove them not to have CM Punk win his first match. Make Darby Allin look as great as he can.
Right.
But Darby's not going over, you know.
No, he can't.
He can't. It's awesome though. Darby has to think. The kid has to be like, wow, I'm making history. Any other the shit he did, no one's ever gonna remember for it. No offense. And I know that might be a shot at him. That might not be. I don't catch a lot of Darby Allin matches. But Darby Allin's gotten a lot of shit thrown at him too in AEW. He's like teaming with Sting. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
That's pretty cool. Now he's going to have he's having CM Punk's return match. Like, they are molding Darby Allin as the future, whether everybody else realizes it or not. If Darby Allin's the gateway kind of to get into AEW, then, you know, Darby Allin's, he's made. Mm-hmm. And if he could be made in this match and still, you know, unfortunately lose, like, then there's nowhere else for the kid to go. He's going to be a top contender in a couple of years.
Absolutely.
They just have to move. I think the only issue maybe, and this might just be me, is they just kind of have to move around maybe the executive producers a little bit, just so that the other wrestlers can get a little bit more of a shot and stuff like that, and not just be all geared towards, you know, and I don't think it's happening, but like geared towards a Cody Rhodes or geared towards a Kenny Omega, or but we haven't seen Kenny Omega matches in the States either, so you know, we're getting our fill with him, or geared towards a Young Bucks, you know what I mean? It's when they're done having their time that they can actually accelerate, like Darby Allin's career, Jungle Boy and Jurassic Express's career,
right?
That's just what eventually needs to happen. After everybody else is done having fun, they'll start like focusing more on all that stuff. I think that's the way I agree. But so what do you think, though, going back to that? What do you think, how is CM Punk's first match going to be? What do you expect?
Well, like we said, he's not going to lose. He can't lose.
So we both agree on that. Like, he's not losing. Okay.
He can't lose. Not his first match back. I think if they do anything here, they may do a double turn. They may have Punk become they might have him become or stay at the face that he is since he's back. They may have Darby Allin become a bad guy. I don't know. That's another good thing about this match too, is it's such a mystery as to what's going to happen that it's kind of good for us as fans that we're not going to know what he's going to be doing. So
God, do you think they could even throw a triple fuck you to the audience and like
finger poke of doom?
No, not even that. I would say following matches, you know, scheduled for one fall, introducing for, you know, CM Punk comes out first. Darby Allin doesn't make it to the ring. Kenny Omega's beating the shit out of him. This is the match everybody wants to see. And Kenny Omega jumps in there.
And then Daniel Bryan comes back.
Or Daniel Bryan comes back. Oh, wow.
I mean, that maybe that happens too, where Daniel Bryan comes back. And
because they haven't talked much about him returning. They know he's coming to AEW, but they're not saying much about his return.
Right. So they haven't talked much about that. They did say that they were getting him. So this could be the pay-per-view where Daniel Bryan comes out and he's there and he maybe beats up CM Punk to start some sort of a thing there.
Sorry, I was taking a drink there. Yeah, right. Backstage there. I hope they heard that. backstage, I don't even know. But yeah, I mean, that would be interesting. That really would be interesting. But and then I guess we have nothing else we could say about that. We could jump into the final thing, which unfortunately could be the main event. The little debacle there that happened between Charlotte Flair and Nia Jax. Now, what did you hear about it?
Okay, so
for the ladies night that are listening, because I know we have a ladies audience.
Oh, of course. So I watched. I didn't get to watch Raw yesterday. Okay. I wasn't working actually yesterday, but I just didn't watch it because I don't watch Raw anymore. But I got updates and whatnot of what was going on and this, that, and the other thing with wrestling. And someone had tweeted about Charlotte and Nikki or Nia. Is this a real thing? So it got me intrigued. Of course, as always, whenever the Twitter universe or any type of social media talks about something and it's one of the highlighted tweets of whatever for the hour, I'm going to take a look at it really quick if it's wrestling related. So I took a look and I watched the match, and it was enticing because it's something that you don't really see anymore, because it feels like everyone's just like, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go out there. If so-and-so messes up, it is what it is. We're professionals. We get over it. But it didn't seem very – well, they did it professionally, but you could tell that there's some sort of animosity there. And from what I saw, it looked like the match prior, Rhea Ripley versus Nia Jax, that Nia Jax had hurt Rhea somehow, or maybe was a little bit too hard with her and threw her against the ropes or something. Maybe that set something in the back where, you know, Nia, she can't wrestle for shit. Everybody on social media talks about how she's a horrible worker. Even wrestlers that were in the business that are not in it anymore that just hear it, because there's always rumblings going around. But we had Nia Jax versus Charlotte as one of the next matches. And Nia Jax, I guess, went to go give her a Samoan drop or something along those lines. Or I can't remember the move, but she didn't botch it, but she was careless. So Charlotte, I guess, was like, all right, I'm fucking done selling for this bitch. So she just got up and just didn't sell, and vice versa. Nia Jax wasn't selling. So then Charlotte started smiling and started laughing, and she started smacking her, pushing her in the head. She's like, and then Nia Jax is like, don't even. And then she tried to do it again. Next thing you know, fucking Nia Jax gave her a three-piece and a soda, as all the cool kids would say. Just started fucking throwing hate, like started throwing fists at her.
Wow.
Got her into the corner, put her arm up against her head. You can see Charlotte laughing. She's like, this bitch ain't gonna fucking try to, she ain't gonna tell me what to do. And then just, if you watch the video, it has me interested now to see what they're gonna do. But knowing WWE, as I know them as well as I do, they'll turn it into where they'll have to be tag team partners that can't stand each other. They'll feed off of the storyline. They'll completely take what's something that was organic and real, as in these two bitches hating each other. They're going to make them squash whatever beef they have in the back, and then they're immediately going to be this joke of a tag team, which happens every time.
So what do you think happened to them when they got to the back?
I think probably some words were probably exchanged.
Mm-hmm.
I know Vince and Charlotte, obviously, I'm not sure if they're as close as they used to be, but I'd imagine that Nia probably doesn't have a great rapport in the back. I could be wrong. I don't work back there, but just from how careless she kind of looks in the back, like in the ring,
yeah.
And how she hurts people and all that jazz. Like, I could see something was maybe said to her, like, don't ever do that again. But hell, do it again. Do it again, because you know what? You know they say, don't do it again, Vince? I'm not sure how much you go on your Twitter besides to thank the WWE Universe for WrestleManias and the big attendances and money, money, money. But he said, look at the Twitter universe and look what's the most fucking tweeted about. Look what everyone's talking about right now. Me and Charlotte. I hate that bitch. And you can hear Charlotte, I hate that fucking bitch too. Just keep going out there and just keep doing what you're doing, you know?
The only thing it could do is it could expose the business any more than it already is, just with them not selling like moves that would have normally, you know, you would.
That might be good.
Sell. Yeah, I mean,
it could be just good. Why not? Why not at this point? Because of the way that the state of wrestling in WWE is, why not? You got to do something different, because AEW is starting to take your fan base. If not, they're getting more over, we should say, yeah, than you are. So at this point, why not have something like this where Vince is like, you know, just go with it, whatever you're going to do. And then kayfabe's dead. The business has been exposed since we've had social media and different biographies and Dark Side of the Ring and all that stuff. Why not? At this point, it's already gone. Why not reap from the benefits that are, hey, peeling back the curtain and saying, you know, Charlotte comes out next week and be like, yeah, I saw I was trending on Twitter this week, but it wasn't for like the good reasons, like that I'm this many time women's champion, I'm the best wrestling champion in the world right now for women. It's me and Nia, you know, throwing actual fists at each other. And she'd come out and be like, you know what? Good. She almost ended my career. She dropped me. She's careless. Like, you know, just make it real. And I guarantee you, if you do that, you could feed off of that. You could talk about that for weeks. You can make a hell of a pay-per-view match out of it.
Because people will want to see them destroy each other.
Nia had said, I already beat you, but now why not beat you for what it's worth right now? Make something worth that championship title. And I mean, that's something they could do, and they could probably make a really good match out of it too.
Yeah, you know, the week before Charlotte Flair came out and she just said that she's doing another woman's revolution. You know what I mean? Her promos, like the way she talks, yeah, it could be like, whatever. But when you listen to what she's saying, it's really interesting. It really is. She's probably one of the better people to give a script to and go out there and say it. You know what I mean? If that's the case.
Yeah,
if that's the case, or give her a few words and have her go out there, because she could, you could tell somebody you could actually do this as a fan. You could literally tell when you're going out there and you're reading off a rehearsed script versus going after and then feeding off the audience and going off that. That's what Charlotte does. Charlotte does the latter. She feeds off what the audience is saying. She could just kind of bounce off that and then get to the point. if you had Montez Ford or a D'Angelo Dawkins or whatever out there, they have to get their spiel across. So they'd have to put that mic up to their face. And it doesn't matter what the crowd's saying. They got to go out there and say their three lines. And then, you know, the match is over. You could definitely tell, like, there's different styles of way promos are. And Charlotte's is one of the better. And Charlotte, when Charlotte said that last week, I was intrigued. And then what's obviously happening now, I'm intrigued. So if they don't botch it, and when I mean they, I just mean the creative. As long as the creative doesn't botch what they might have happening.
Yeah.
Which, like you said, it's going to be that stupid thing. It's the Sheamus fucking face piece. Like, how many times do you think they go and go, okay, let's pull from this well again? Because, you know, like, I don't get it. Like, if you've watched wrestling for all these years, that's that old gimmick that's coming back again when they had to wear the face shield again. You know, it's like
so dumb.
We saw this already, and you guys did it like God before the last three full moons, it seems, you know, like,
yeah,
we remember it. You yeah. know?
And that's another thing, too.
Then I think what happens is WWE does their it's not to catch it. They'll do their top 10. It's like, oh, top 10 wrestlers who wear face masks. And it's like, give me a fucking break.
Let's make more content out of this for the fucking Peacock. And that's another thing, too. It's funny because I had one day I was just watching wrestling. And I was just so fucking pissed off with WWE. And I said, you know what? This ain't going to do shit, but I'll feel better when I say it. So I went on Twitter and I added Vince McMahon. And I said, Vince, you might think that some of your audience members are inbreds that, you know, don't even remember how to tie their shoe. But that's one thing that an inbred wrestling fan knows, and that's a storyline that's already been done. So, you know, trust your audience to know that we could follow along a storyline no matter how inept it is or no matter how long or lengthy it might be. We remember and we understand it because it's something we're passionate about as fans. And if you're trying to get a new audience, well, if you have something to have a lot of buzz around it that doesn't fucking involve Logan Paul, which everybody fucking hates, then we'll be happy. We don't care about Logan Paul. We don't care about X marks the spot celebrity, whatever you want to put out there. We don't care. We don't care about Bad Bunny. We don't care about any of that stuff. We care about the people that you make, the HBKs, the Stone Colds, the Rocks, making superstars like that. And we know, we get it. You don't have the type of superstars in the back right now that can pull off what those guys did. But if you tend to their needs and tend to like how, what would make this guy better instead of giving him a fucking scooter, then maybe it'll work.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. But I mean, so there's that for WWE to see what they can go off of next week's show with the Nia Jax thing and then the Charlotte Flair thing. Cause I mean, if it made a buzz on Twitter, then it's you know, it has to ring somebody's ears in WWE corporate to be like, okay, let's try to do something with it, you know. But
all right, let's have these guys fight. And then that'll be another thing. If they don't tag team up, they'll have them fake fight in the back.
Well, how many times do they do that tag team shtick too? Almost as much as, like I said, they do the fucking face shield mask or the Bob Orton
the cast
thing. Yeah.
The or top
Miz.
10.
Miz's thing with so the dumb. Fucking with the not the not wheelchair. Even the squirt thing, but yeah, just the wheelchair. Yeah, top ten prone wrestlers.
Yeah, like, top ten teammates that hated each other but became tag team champions. Yeah,
exactly.
Like, okay, guys, we've seen this before. Let's do something different. Let's have them in the back. Let's have it like Matt Hardy. Edge-esque type of thing. It doesn't have to deal with the knowing or one liking this girl or this guy in the back and then one going after it. Unless you want to maybe make it about Nia and Andrade and peel that curtain back and how it's real. I don't know what you do. But if you could implement some sort of total divas into it, if that's still a thing, and you could have them on the show together and how like maybe Charlotte doesn't like Nia or vice versa. And
well, they'll do that from time to time, but it never seems to me. I know, and it has to be like when they tried to, they did that once. I don't know if they kept doing it or not, but I know they did it once where they did like a total divas angle and then it's built onto like next week's Raw. And it just kind of hurts your head if you really want to think about it, because you know that the things that happened on Total Divas happened like months ago, You know what I mean? Like they're taping because they say like 3 weeks later or whatever. So it's like this whole thing where they're trying to do a feud off of that would be kind of really strange, but
right.
You know,
and that's another thing too. Right now you have Alexa Bliss, I believe, was going to try to challenge Charlotte for this, but if this thing's blowing up between her and Nia, like it is, they're going to capitalize off of it. But it's just, I'm intrigued to see what Nimwit fucking writer in the back is going to think for this one now. Well, maybe we'll have Nia and Charlotte go at it, and then we'll have to have all the girls and all the background guys try to break them up, and then it'll end up to be this thing. But I like the organic, and that's with anything nowadays. Anything, it's got to be organic for it to work, and if something like that, it could work. But I don't know. Yeah. I give up thinking for the writers. I don't get paid for it.
Yeah, we don't get paid for it. But I'll tell you what we do get paid for. It's this podcast. And we just produced another fantastic episode of Wrestling and Whatever. Jiggle, where could they find us?
They can find us online. They can find us on the Facebook, which actually that's what it used to be called, the Facebook. You can find us on Facebook at Wrestling and Whatever. We actually just had a few new followers join up and give their input on our Facebook. And we also have the Twitter where you could go at Wrestling and WE on there. Follow us. Send us some messages like you have been, and we'll continue to answer them. And if you want to listen to us, I mean, we're on Anchor, we're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you could really get a podcast in any part of the world. Mm-hmm. We're actually on there. It's insane. So that's one positive.
Really neat. It's really neat when you search us on Google. Boom, it's up there, and it's like, wow, we made it to Google. It's nuts, man. It's really nuts. And then, you know, Twitter, our little at Wrestling, is it Wrestling Whatever?
Or Wrestling WWE? And WWE. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Wrestling and WWE. I get that confused with our promo code. Don't forget to use our promo code, Wrestling WWE, for 10% and/or 15% off various outlets, which are only two right now. But you know, we love them. We love some local coffee and some boosted shades. So you can't go wrong there. And you know, if anybody has anything they want to suggest for future episodes, please reach out to us. Want us to do an episode on like a particular wrestler? We can do that. Talk about their career a little bit. Because like I feel like wrestling's gonna pick up, and it's picking up. So we'll probably try to stay current with what's happening in AEW and WWE. But when there's a lull, you know, I love suggestions, hearing about like, you know, why don't you talk about this wrestler? Then we can kind of like do our research, and then we can put a little show together and talk about it.
And I mean, personally too, my thing I really want to get us back into, because we do have a lot of people, but to get more interviews.
Yeah.
We could definitely, there's a bunch of guys that I've been talking with, and we could definitely get them on. It just depends on time. Right now, after the pandemic, because we're still technically in a pandemic, but it's lightened up a little bit, even though I think we're going to go back into it.
Right.
It's very, everyone's really back to doing stuff again.
Yeah.
So no one's stuck home like when we originally started this.
I mean, we originally started this when it was the pandemic. So everybody wasn't doing anything. So we could call whoever, and they'd be like,
I'll be honest with you. I'd love to get our first guy back on here again and talk some more shit.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Dumpster. That would be really cool.
But we will look into it. That'll be, like I said, we're not going anywhere. Me and Mikey here, we enjoy talking about wrestling, because it's one thing that we've become really good friends off of, just joking around. I mean, to peel back the curtain here for a little bit, when me and Mikey first met years and years and years and years ago, we were pretending we were fucking Edge and Christian. Of course, I was Edge and you were Christian.
No, I was Edge and you were Christian.
I mean, Christian did have some cool shades, so I probably would have wore those. But it was just, it's just wrestling has brought us together, and as much as it brings everyone else together, and that's why we like talking about it as much as we can. But one last thing before we end this this episode here, we want to give you guys a little bit of a heads up. You guys are listening to us every week or whenever we record. Me and Mikey here, after next week's episode, because we kind of want to recap the AEW pay-per-view, we're going to be taking a little bit of a hiatus.
A little sabbatical.
A little bit of a vacation, because Mr. Mikey here has some life events that will be coming up, as will I will be very busy with doing nothing on my vacation at the beach. Very much well needed for both of us. Yeah. We're both happy for each other, and we will be back more than likely, probably the beginning of November.
Yeah, we want to just get our batteries recharged, and once we do, we could talk about everything that we missed between those couple of weeks and stuff like that, and just kind of get caught back up, and then get in the swing of things. Hell, we'll see if we can get Ben back in it for a couple episodes. We'll do
right.
what we can to just keep pumping out these very informative, educational, and hell, fun episodes of wrestling or whatever.
Absolutely. So I'm Jay Glow. This is Mikey Dangerous saying, hey, see you next week.